Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Do you wish that you and your partner were closer? Do you struggle with how to respond to your children and teenagers' anger? Well, I'll address these questions today in episode number 36, titled Achieve Emotional Intimacy by Meeting Emotional Needs. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family that you work for every day. And for those looking for help with their parenting and relationship challenges, come to my website, neildbrown.com, and download my free Parent Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast. It is not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Today, we're answering a question from Annie of Milford, Connecticut. Annie writes, in your podcast on parental burnout, you talk about the importance of getting emotional needs met. I'm not sure anyone in our family gets their emotional needs met. My husband and I are very involved and supportive of our 16-year-old daughter and 14-year-old son, but everything feels disconnected. Both kids are often angry with us, and we're never sure why. As a couple, my husband and I do pretty well, but there's always a little tension, like maybe we're doing something wrong. Can you shed some light on how to get our emotional needs met together? Well, thanks for your question, Annie. It's a good one. It sounds like you're describing a situation where both you and your husband are trying to be good parents and partners, but you're not talking about your feelings, and you aren't getting back what you hope for when you do. So your question is exactly the right question to be asking. My hunch, Annie, is that both you and your husband came from backgrounds that were challenging, to say the least, and you both learned to survive without getting the support, the understanding, or empathy that you needed and deserved. And when this happens to kids, they decide that their feelings and needs aren't important, and that they aren't important, and they make adjustments and learn to get by without getting their emotional needs met. They stop expecting to get their emotional needs met. They might not even know that they have emotional needs after a while. So Annie, you are important. Your husband is important too. And your two teenagers are important as well. So let's back up and talk about emotional needs for a bit, and then we can address what you do to make things better in your family. Well, emotional needs are needs that can only get met by others. And they do two things for us. Number one, they help us feel good about ourselves, connected, whole. When our emotional needs are met, we are far less likely to have mental health symptoms, depression and anxiety, for instance, or be unsatisfied. When our emotional needs are met, we feel empowered and able to be our creative, productive selves. And second, the other thing emotional needs do is they connect us to each other. In fact, meeting emotional needs is the key. It's the glue of emotional intimacy. So what are emotional needs? Well, in their book, Professional Burnout, Its Causes and Cures, the prolific social psychologist Elliot Aronson, along with Ayala Pines, describe six emotional needs that, if they aren't met, will lead to burnout, either professional burnout, personal burnout, or both. And I'll run through these. Listening, just someone to download our experiences to. We don't need much back, just someone to listen. Then there's personal support. Personal support is where someone understands and cares about what you feel. They empathize and validate your point of view and your feelings. I understand how you feel. It makes sense. And I care. And then there's personal challenge. And personal challenge is when we get advice or constructive feedback. And you'll not be surprised to hear that we only accept advice or constructive feedback from someone we trust and who also offers personal support. You'll also not be surprised to hear that we need a lot more personal support than we need personal challenge. And then, of course, there's professional support and professional challenge, and these are the same except in the professional area. We want to know that someone knows what we're doing and recognizes its value. They see us as doing a good job, and of course, they have to know our field and have expertise so that their feedback is considered valid. And professional challenge, of course, is we want and need constructive feedback or we go stale. We want it from someone whose expertise we trust and can also see the good in what we do. And then the sixth emotional need is called shared social reality. And that's when someone shares our culture, our reality, or a way of looking at the world. So I think it must have been 30 years ago or so when I went to a training that Dr. Aronson gave on this subject, and something suddenly clicked for me. Wow, I thought. So this is the secret to that elusive subject of emotional intimacy. Everyone wants it. Everyone talks about it. My clients want it. I want it for them. But how do you get it? Well, here it is. It comes when two people meet each other's emotional needs. We don't need to get all our needs met by one person, but to have emotional intimacy in your primary relationship, you will want to be able to give and get significant emotional needs met. And for children and teens growing up to be confident in who they are and feel safe and connected in their relationship with their parents, parents will need to have skill for responding to their children's emotional needs. And since today we're talking about personal relationships in the family, let's focus in on personal support. If we look deeper into what personal support consists of, we can see other emotional needs that fit under this heading as well. Let's look at some. One is understanding. In other words, does the person understand what we think, what we feel, or what we're experiencing? You might say, do they get us? What that might sound like is, oh, I see, so you're thinking and feeling this. Then there is the need for validation, another kind of support. Validation is when someone sees the reasonableness of our feelings and perspective. And this is different from agreeing with our perspective, just that our feelings and perspective make a kind of sense. They're understandable. It might sound like this. That makes sense. I can understand how you would think that way. I could understand why you would feel that way. And then there's empathy or love and caring, a vital part of emotional support in personal and intimate relationships. And that would sound like, I'm glad you're telling me your feelings because I care. So if you put these three elements of emotional support together, it might sound like this. I understand what you're saying, and I can see how you would see things that way and feel that way. And I'm glad we're talking because I care about you and I care about your feelings. Well, pretty simple, right? Well, sometimes yes, and then sometimes no. It's pretty simple when our partner or child is talking about something that does not involve us. My friend was mean to me. Or Jack threw me under the bus at the meeting today. We can offer understanding, validation, and empathy there. Where it gets challenging is when our kids or partner are upset with us. When our feelings about their feelings can override our ability to remain focused on their needs. We feel hurt or angry and become defensive, and that's exactly the opposite of what they need, and it isn't going to get our needs met either. And yet, being able to stay supportive of our partner or our kids when they're upset with us is a critical skill to have. And let me be clear. Successful relationships require the ability to make room for someone else's feelings and perspective when we also have strong feelings and a different perspective about the same thing, and we have our own set of needs. That's a tall order, isn't it? Well, here are some understandings and tools for growing this set of skills that will dramatically improve the quality of your primary personal relationships. First, recognize that only one set of emotional needs can get met at a time. You have yours, and they have theirs, and you can both get your needs met by each other, but we can only take care of one person's at a time. So, start by attending to theirs. If someone shows up with some feelings, even if those feelings come out poorly, so for instance, instead of, "I'm upset that you didn't offer to help get ready for the company yesterday," they say, "Why do you expect me to do everything around here and you can do whatever you want and never help?" Either way, they still have the same emotional needs, while you undoubtedly have a very different perspective. You might say, "Wow, dear, I see you're really upset that you're not getting the help you need from me." Of course, if you're feeling I'm not sharing the load or being helpful, that would be really upsetting. And I'm glad you're telling me your feelings, and I'm glad you're telling me about your upsetness because I love you and I care about your feelings, and let's talk about this. Well, is that unrealistic? Well, it might be today, but not if you work at it. A technique I teach my clients to help with this is to imagine that both you and your partner are watching different movies. You're the protagonist or main character in your movie, and they are in theirs. Both movies are playing at the same time, so let one be in the foreground and let one be in the background. Watch your partner's movie first. Go to the theater that their movie is playing in, metaphorically speaking. Sit down with your Sprite and your popcorn and empathize with the main character, their dilemma, their view, their feelings, and then offer emotional support like we talked about. Then, invite them to come watch your movie. You might say, "I do want to support and help. Can I explain what I was doing and why yesterday? The last thing I wanted to do was leave you with all the work when you needed me to help. We were talking about how Jeff hasn't built a good set of friends and he's lonely and spending too much time on the internet, that we need to give him more attention. I always see you as having everything together with company and you're really efficient. I sometimes feel like I'm in the way. I thought the best thing to do was get Jeff and me out of your hair and get Jeff some attention, and we went on a long bike ride. He did great, and I was glad for the time with him and thought I was doing the right thing by you too." Well, hopefully your partner can provide some understanding, some validation, and some caring to you too. And then you can both learn that talking to each other is a safe thing to do, that you'll be listened to, validated, and cared about. And you can learn from this experience and talk more in the future. And so, Annie, I hope this is all helpful, yet it might be a bit overwhelming and hard to easily put into practice. So let's narrow things down. Here's something that might be more workable. Simply focus on validation as a way to offer emotional support in your family. When your kids are upset with you, listen carefully to what they're saying and simply validate their feelings. For instance, phrases you might use could be, "Yeah, that could be really frustrating. I can understand that. It is disappointing when you want to go do fun things but need to do your work first. I know it doesn't make sense that we require you to clean your room. I'll explain it sometime if you like, but I need you to take care of it before you go out." In these ways, you're offering support to your kids while still setting important and clear limits. And that's your job. You're not arguing with them, and you're not growing control battles. And that should help with their chronic anger, although some teen anger with parents, it does tend to come with the territory, doesn't it? Well, with your husband, Annie, if he's talking about his feelings, validate them. If he isn't, and you simply sense that he has feelings he's not talking about, invite him to talk about them. and then validate. And you can try bringing up your feelings, even if your feelings about the two of you not talking about your feelings is what needs to be talked about. I'm sure that if neither of you are comfortable talking about feelings together or know how to meet each other's needs, that you've built a negative pattern in your relationship where you now have feelings kept inside that's creating a chronic stress in the marriage. It would be great to have some sessions with a really good couples therapist where you can have a safe place where there will be an opportunity to get things out and then to practice and learn and practice these skills. I say really good couples therapist because the sad truth is that many therapists who see couples do not know how to do effective couples therapy. I've seen many couples who became very discouraged about their relationship after going to someone who did not know what competent couples therapy is. Couples therapy requires its own skill set, and it's different from individual therapy, so make sure you're seeing someone who is experienced and known for expertise in that area. Annie, you and your husband may want to consider doing some deeper personal therapy to heal the childhood issues of not getting your needs met. It will give you the opportunity to see your child self in an empathetic light and heal that part of you that thinks you should just get by. But I'll save a deeper discussion about that for another podcast. So listeners, here's my challenge to all of us. Let's all focus on the emotional need called validation. Before we argue, offer a better idea, defend ourselves, get our feelings hurt, or some other reaction, let's take a moment to watch the other person's movie and validate them. Let them know that we see the reasonableness of their feelings, and then come to my website and write me a comment and let me know what happens. I'll bet we all have some amazing positive experiences to report. Well, thanks for tuning in today, listeners, and special thanks to you, Annie, for stimulating this extremely important discussion. And please feel free to come to my website at neildbrown.com and sign up for my weekly newsletter, where there is plenty of helpful stuff there right now and plenty more in the pipeline. I'd love to have a chance to answer your question that you could submit at neildbrown.com as well. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.